I'm going to pray for Dave because when we get up here to pray to teach a message to everybody, we want to make sure it glorifies God and doesn't glorify each of one of us who's up here. So we're going to pray for Dave right now, okay? Dear Father, I just ask that you be with Dave. Use him as your vessel, Lord. But we understand as we come up here to teach your word that we're teaching it that you're teaching through us, Lord, that we don't get the glory, but you get all the glory, Lord. And we just ask that you would put the words in our mouth that we need to speak. I ask that you put the words in his mouth. I ask that you give him the knowledge and the wisdom how to say it and how to present it, Lord. And we know as we sit there and listen that we have to understand that the Spirit teaches us each individually on where we need to be improved on to be a better Christian, Lord. And we just praise you. We give you thanks and praise for your word, that we get to know more about you through that you left the book. So it's in a book so we can pick it up and read it or choose not to read it. But we here, standing before you, Lord, we choose to read it and to believe in it. We believe you, Lord. We love you, and we just can't wait to hear what the word speaks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. Okay, Karen, we're on. Dennis is correct. Anytime that one of us get up here, in essence, what you're listening to, what you're hearing, is a conversation between the person speaking and the Lord. You're hearing a conversation. So what you're going to hear is going to be what the Lord has talked to me this morning, early this morning about. In today's world, you can't look around and see that things are not changing. Things are changing. Those things that are changing are creating insecurities. Those things that are changing cause us to be concerned. Those things that are really going in directions that we don't understand cause us to have anxiety, cause us to doubt God, cause us to sometimes get away from the word of the Lord. Pastor Bill spoke last Wednesday about the world is kind of in a reset mode. It's resetting. Things are changing. What we had 2 years ago is not going to be the same as what we're going to have 2 years from now. So in that reset process, it's extremely important for me, Dave Conley, because I get as nervous as anyone else. It's important for me to reset my life with the Lord, reset who he is, reset what he has done, reset his power, his grace, his mercy, reset the creation that he has given us. This all belongs to him, all of this. So before we get started, I just want to say Acts 17:11. Dennis Well spoken to the Lord. He said, look, Lord, let these words, you teach all of us differently, okay? Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will teach you all things concerning him, me, Christ. So Acts 17:11, that's one of the other. And I want to start with the title of this is going to be Pattern and Provision. In other words, Order and Reset. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. And to begin with, we're going to go right to the beginning of God's Word in Genesis 1:1. So if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Genesis 1:1. The creation of the world, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. What we're going to do is we're going to start with the creation, and then we're going to look at how the pattern has been throughout creation. Then we're going to look at the pattern that God has given to the patriarchs, and then we're going to look at the pattern that Israel went through, and then we're going to look at the pattern in God's provision in himself, in Yeshua, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the final step is the resurrection of him and you. So, in the beginning, God created. That word created, by the way, is the word bara. Okay? That word bara in Hebrew is created out of nothing. In other words, there was no time, there was no space, there was no expanse, there was nothing. But our God spoke into existence all of these things. The creator of the universe said, let there be light. And he created that. Light happened. That's his power, his majesty, It's we can't even fathom his power and his majesty. He created time, space, and matter. Each one of those components has its own limitations, has its own operating boundaries, if you would. Time is governed by day and night and operating from sunrise to sunset and sunrise. The definition of space, time, space, and matter, the definition of space actually in Webster's Dictionary begins at 33,000 feet MSL, mean sea level. A mean sea level, 33,000 feet, beyond that is defined as space. So any of you that have taken long flights at 34,000 or 36,000 feet, you've been flying through space. So this is where the planets and the galaxies and the stars, he hung those, according to Psalms. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, our own Milky Way, where we live, where the Lord has given us, okay, is approximately 1,000,000,000 stars in our galaxy, okay? And there are millions upon millions of other galaxies. In Job 38, 31, 33, and Isaiah 40, 26, all talk about that, the glory of God, his creation. It's a reset. Reset as to who he is. Reset to he's got the power. He has us in his hand. Matter. Matter is governed by what's called the laws of thermodynamics, which the first and second law that basically it's about a process of order and decay. Okay? Decay. All things are decaying in wood. This whole universe is decaying. This whole universe is winding down. But the Lord has it in control. So the Lord established patterns at the very beginning of creation. Patterns that basically help us focus on him. So when we get off the rails, we get back on the rails by resetting who he is. Who are you, Lord? Show me your mercy. Show me your majesty. Show me, Lord, what your will is for my life. Pattern can be seen in the creation of man. When God said, let us make man in our image. We're made in his image. You are. I am. We are all made in his image. We're not randomly put together. I don't have an arm coming out of my head. I don't have, you know, a foot coming out of my side. It's a pattern. He said we are made in his image, and his image is organized. His image is complete. Things we see. By the way, Romans 1:20. In fact, if you want to write these scriptures down as we go through this, I think they were very useful for me early this morning. Romans 1:20. All creation, Paul says. I'll flip over there real quick. All things are made by him. The phrase things that are made is one word in the Greek, a word used elsewhere in Ephesians 2:10. And we are his workmanship. God has written poetic masterpieces, as it were, one in the physical creation and one in the lives of men and women redeemed and saved by his grace. Both give eloquent testimony to eternal power and Godhead of the Creator Redeemer. Meaning that we are his workmanship. You cannot look at creation and not see the hand of the Lord and in that, his fingerprints. So we're looking at the pattern. So we see we're made in the image of God. And one of the things that created, we see another pattern that emerged after we were created. And that's Adam willfully sinning. So in the hearts of man, we have a sinful nature. We were created in his image. He put Adam in the garden. And Adam willfully sinned. Eve was deceived. You need to look that up and chase that. Because I'll tell you, there is a pattern in there that will blow your mind. And that pattern is, I'm going to present this to you. When Adam saw Eve take up, Adam loved Eve. He said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Okay? Adam knew that when God had said, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. The serpent beguiled Eve. Eve ate of that fruit. When Adam saw her eat of that fruit, Adam had no doubt in his mind of his love for her. It was tremendous, immense. He basically said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. When he saw his bride take of that and know that she was going to die when she took of that, he knew that God would make a way out. So he, in essence, sacrificed himself and all of us to save Eve. That is a picture of Jesus Christ coming down through the centuries. Think about that for a second. When we sin, when we walk away from the Lord, guess what? He had to come down and pay for us. So the pattern is man's fall, God's provision. With Noah, we're going to go through some of the patriarchs here. Noah, the word, when God destroyed the earth by the flood, before that he said, man's heart is continually evil. So after the fall, all the way through history, up till the time of Noah, evil prevailed. Man kept going on a downward spiral. And God chose Noah. He said Noah was perfect and upright, okay? That doesn't mean he was sinless. When we get into that, we'll be able to see some other things later on in a separate Bible study. But the word Noah means rest. And again, we're looking at patterns now, and we're looking at provision. The word Noah means rest, okay? Noah was in the ark 150 days. Noah and his family, God made provision for them to separate them out, to hold them up, and the whole ark has the picture of Jesus Christ holding them up. God, when Noah went into the ark, did you know that God closed the door? Do you know he's the one that shut the door? Not Noah didn't pull it. And if you've ever been to the ark in Kentucky, you'll see that's a big door. Okay? And when God closes in, so when you are in Christ, you are sealed. You are sealed in him. Okay? And it's interesting because here again the pattern. Watch the patterns through God's word. I hear a lot of people talk about, when I read the Bible, I don't really get a lot out of it. Okay, I just read it word for word. But I want you to look at the patterns. I want you to look at God's grace. I want you to find him in everything that you read in his word. And you will see patterns in your life that reflect what he's doing, what he's done in his word. For instance, Noah's ark, the ark came to rest, and this goes to Genesis 9:9 if you want to look this up. I'm sorry, 5:8, excuse me. The ark came to rest. They were 150 days on the water. And the ark came to rest on the 17th day of the 7th month. Okay, that's Genesis 5:8. Pattern. God set that timing, specific dates. When you see a specific date in God's word, pay attention, because it will show you something in prophecy or the pattern that the Lord has in the future. So the 17th day of the 7th month, okay, in Genesis 5:8. Listen to this. The Passover, okay, as we read in Genesis, the Exodus, that Moses, you know, when he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, okay, they had the Passover. The Passover was the same day of that month. Jesus laid in the tombs, listen for this for a second. The Lord laid in the tomb 3 days, which means Passover being on the 14th of that same month, okay? And the Lord was in the tomb for 3 days. That means he rose on that very same day, the 17th day of the 7th month. There's the pattern. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how it's going to play out. Abraham is another example. Abraham is the beginning of the nation Israel. The ushering in of the Messiah. Okay, Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. God's speaking here, and he says, I will establish my covenant with you. Who established the covenant? Did we? Nope. The Lord did. That's his pattern, his provision. Okay, he established the covenant. He says, I will establish my covenant with you, Genesis 15, 5, and your seed. Okay, that word seed, and you need to, if you got Genesis 15:5 open, I want you to circle that word seed. Because Paul talks about that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew God's word intimately. He knew the Torah. He knew the Tanakh. He knew the entire Old Testament intimately. He was a teacher. And he understood these things. Okay? So Genesis 15, 5. The word seed, okay, verse 5. And this is the Lord speaking to Abraham. And he said, and he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look toward the heaven and tell the stars if ye be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed, singular, be. Now, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the stars for signs, days, seasons, years. Okay, four things. Signs was the number one reason he created the heavens. And here he's saying, he's telling Abraham, look up there, so shall your seed be. In other words, the Messiah, the gospel, if you can research that, is written in the heavens. But go to Galatians, if you see where Paul, in Galatians 3:16, Paul defines that word seed. He said, as in seed singular, not seeds plural. So Abraham, God was telling Abraham, the Messiah, the Mashiach, I am going to come down through your lineage, your line. I will establish. God's establishing it. That's his pattern. That's his provision. So constantly throughout the scriptures, you see man at his weakest point, and the Lord reaching down out of eternity, saying, come on home. I've got it covered. As the days progress in this world that we're living in right now, there's going to be times when we doubt, when we have anxiety about what's going on. I personally have issues with the mask thing and going into town and seeing everyone with a mask. I have a problem with that because, in essence, it's forcing me into something that I don't want to do. I don't want to go. So where does my focus need to be? On the mask? Does it need to be on my finances? Does it need to be on my health? Does it need to be on my government? The government can't keep you from diseases. Doctors can't keep you from diseases. The Lord can. I need to focus on him. I need to have a reset. Lord, you are on the throne. You are the God of all the creation. You are the one who created us and loves us and protects us. And God, with Abraham, you'll notice God established the covenant. He established the covenant with Noah. He establishes the covenant with Isaac. God establishes the covenant. We don't. We don't come to him on our own. Jesus says no man can come to the Lord except the Holy Spirit draw him. The Holy Spirit's drawing you. He's saying, come on. Come in while it hasn't started raining yet. I want you to come in. I've got you secure. This is what I've told you over and over and over again. I provide. It's my covenant. I will. Isaac is another example. I'm going to back up for a second and go back to Abraham. Abraham was the beginning, and God says, I will establish my covenant with Abraham, and of course we see this, his seed, and great darkness. That always fascinated me. Abraham set the sacrifices. Okay, why don't you drop down that same bit, Genesis. Go to Genesis, right there when you're at chapter 15, verse 5. We're going to drop down. I shall just read the whole thing. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do? Abraham did nothing but believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's what he's asking. We get caught up in running around, you know, oh Lord, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have a sin issue, okay? And when I start focusing on my sin, it becomes my reset point, chasing that, like a little rabbit. No, I have to look at the Lord. I have to focus on him. I have to reset on him. So verse 6, and Abraham believed God, and he said unto him, this is God speaking, I am the Lord that brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And Abraham said, Lord, how should I know that what shall I inherit? And now, verse 9, this blew me away. And he said, take unto him, unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and she a goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, turtle dove, and young pigeon. And he took them all of these and divided them in the midst and laid them each piece once against another. But the birds of the air, he did not divide. And when the fowls came down, the carcasses Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Think about that for a second. Abraham, God said, this is the sacrifice. The sacrifice was there first. And then Abraham, a great sleep fell upon Abraham. That's kind of where we should be. The sacrifice has been paid. We should be resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be resting in his finished work. Okay? We should not be worried about all these things. And to keep in mind that this message is for me. Okay, it's not for anybody else but me. Well, if the Lord speaks to you, that's praise God. Give him the glory. Okay? But Abraham, a great sleep fell upon Abraham. Noah rested in the ark. Okay? The ark came to rest. The finished work of God Almighty is done. Okay? So, the great sleep, if you go to 15, where the sun went down, 13 said, hang on for a second, Abraham, 12 got, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. You say, well, that's kind of weird. That's really weird. I wonder what that means. I wonder, Lord, and this is part of studying God's word. This is a part of peeling back the onion. This is the part of looking at the patterns. This is part of God's provision. And he's saying over and over again, I've done this. I'm going to do this. This is the past, present, and future. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. So it all belongs to him. So our reset in today's world needs to be reset with him, reset with who he is. So the darkness that came upon, I want you to just flip over to Psalm 18, verse 11. You want to see who that was? He's going to show us who that darkness was. Uh-oh. Oh, whew. Thought I lost it. Guess who that darkness was that came over Abraham? It's the Lord God Almighty himself. Verse 11, Psalm 18. And he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, and hailstones of fire. Verse 11 pinpoints the darkness that was over Abraham. Abraham, who did the offering? Abraham came to the Lord because he believed God. He sent that offering. The offering of sacrifice was accepted by God, and the Lord God Almighty himself moved between those pieces. Let's go back to Genesis 12. Sorry, you should have put your finger there. I didn't tell you this. So God's covenant with Abraham in chapter 12, God's saying, I will do this. Verse 1. Verse 1 said, now the Lord said unto Abraham, okay? God's telling him, giving him direction. Verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation. He didn't say, Abraham, I want you to go out and work really hard. I want you to get a degree. I want you to get your doctorate. And I want you to do all of these things, Abraham. And then I will make you you will be a great nation. No. God said, I will make you a great nation. In other words, all of this pattern that the Lord has given us, he's creating in us. His workmanship. He's developing in us a relationship with him that is unparalleled in the universe because of his great love for us. He created it. It has structure. It has form. He created man. Man has structure. We have form. Yeah, we all don't look alike. Praise God for that. I don't want to see me in the mirror. but we're all different. And God said, I will bless thee and make thee a great nation. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay? And indeed, we are. Additionally, I want to go flip over to Genesis 22:8. Again, we're looking at pattern and provision. Pattern and provision. We've discussed this before. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham had a son, Isaac. And prior to that, he had a son of the flesh with Hagar, with Ishmael. But God only recognized Isaac because Isaac was the son of promise. When God says, I'm going to do this, rest assured he's going to do it regardless of what we think or how we react or how fearful we become. Do not allow the enemy to get my daughter told me this one time. I was belly aching. I was talking to her driving, and you know, the whole world's falling apart and this is going on, blah, 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 blah. She goes, Dad, shut up. Do not let Satan get in your head. Okay? God has got this under control, Dad. Okay? So that's what I have to learn. So the offering of Isaac, chapter 22, is what's going all the way through that. And basically what God's saying is, take your son, your only son, and we talked about this before, and offer him in a place that I'm going to show you. And again, we're looking at pattern. Offer him in the place that I'm going to show you. Abraham had no idea what that place was. God didn't say, this is the GPS coordinates, get your phone out, and we'll drive you there. Nope. Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, God directed him to the place where he was going to offer up Isaac. But that place was 3 days' journey. So the question is, when did Isaac die in Abraham's heart? How long was Isaac dead in Abraham's heart? When you know your child is going to die within 3 days, what do you do with that 3 days? You're thinking about that? You're worrying about that? It touches you? So Abraham is looking at that. But Abraham believed God. And so he takes the servants and he goes to this place where God's told, and God said, that's the place I want you to sacrifice your son. And he left the servants. They took the servants in the dark. Abraham left the servants down at the base of the mountain. And he said, the child and I, which Isaac was not a little boy, tell you straight up. He was a big boy, and Abraham was over 100 years old. Now, you can imagine that whole scene there. Okay? Here's this guy, 100 years old. Come on, son, we're going to sacrifice you. Okay? Well, Isaac going, hey, old man, that ain't happening. Okay? But guess what? Isaac went willingly. He went willingly. And he's a grown man. Is Isaac a type of Christ? A picture of him? Pattern. Pattern. So they go up the mountain. Isaac tells his father, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? And the most profound words in all, in my opinion, of Genesis, the most profound words is when Abraham, chapter 22, verse 19. So Abraham, my mistake. Go to verse 8. Kind of went fast forward there. Okay? Chapter 22, verse 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He's going to be the lamb. You want to hear something really crazy? Do you know that same mountain that Isaac was going to be, Isaac was going to be sacrificed on, that same mountain was where Christ was sacrificed 2,000 years later. There is a pattern, folks. There's a provision. God gave the pattern from the beginning of time. And he's given us a provision all the way through time, right to where we're at today. He's provided for us everything. It's mind-boggling for me. So we're talking about provision. So the Lord provided, according to Abraham, it says that the Lord provided, and as it said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. When Christ was crucified on that same place where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, he said, it is finished. I've paid it. You're free. As we go through, Genesis to me is one of the most foundational books in the entire Word of God. When you begin to understand God's provision, His power, what He's done for us and what He's continued to do for us, and we get a reset on Him, we get a refocus on Him, that's the key. Okay? We're saying, how great Thou art, Lord, when I see the works of Your hands. Okay? That includes all of You and all of us. Well, just fast forwarding here, Isaac was offered up. He wasn't offered up, but the ram was caught in a thicket, and that's what they sacrificed. And the key thing, again, we're looking at patterns, you'll see in the scripture that Abraham came down, grabbed his two servants, and went back home. You don't see Isaac again in scripture. You don't see him again until he takes his bride. Is he a type of Christ? He willingly offered up himself. He willingly went to, with his dad to be sacrificed. He willingly went there. And then he disappears from Scripture until he takes his bride. And the most mind-boggling thing, and again, we're looking at patterns in God's Word. When we're reading God's Word, step out of the words and step into that eternity. Step into that time frame. The servant went to get a bride for Isaac. Okay, and he found basically Rebecca. Okay, and if you read that whole story about Rebecca, she didn't know who Isaac was. Okay, and the servant's name is Eliezer. This will blow your mind. The servant's name is Eliezer. That word Eliezer means comforter. Okay, helper. What is the Holy Spirit doing in the church today? Creating and getting the bride for Christ. That's us. The patterns are there, folks. The provision is there. And it's like mind-boggling. I said, Lord, how can that be? Because He is God. He spoke everything that we have into existence. He has all of this. He is on the throne. And this is for me, because I lose it. Okay? I want to make sure I got my checkbook paid off. I mean, my everything's paid up. My wife, God bless her, she's my blessing there. I got to make sure everything's okay. I got to make sure my job is good. I got to make sure my health is good. I'm focusing on all these other things when I should be resetting and focusing on the Lord, because, folks, hard times are coming. Hard times are coming. And if I'm focusing on the things of the world, I can't look at the Creator of the universe, who says over and over again, I will do this. I will do this. That's Him doing it, not Dave Conley, not anybody else. Okay, Jacob, the 12, we'll go through a little bit of it. We get into from Isaac to Jacob, and then the pattern and the provision. As we move through life, resetting, refocusing on the Lord. Get into His Word. Learn of Him. Okay? The Bible says, Psalm 136, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for all His goodness. When things begin to fall apart, I want you to start praising God. Because when our spiritual walk is a lot like Israel, the nation of Israel. Did you know that? Because when things are prosperous, when things are going, and even in Leviticus, when God's talking about pattern and what have you, the tabernacle is made exactly as God had commanded Moses to make it. Exactly to the inch. Okay? The pattern was there. And that pattern through there is about Christ all the way through. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for all that He's done. At the lost my train of thought there. Oh, anyway, that's where he has called us out. He's not only called us out, but he has paid it. He has given us the pattern all the way through God's word. And not only has he given us that pattern, but he's also given us the provision. The provision. So as we go through this, these times in the future, I have to remember that God will supply every need, Philippians 4:19, every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not mine. Not mine. Lord, we humbly bow before you. You are the creator of all things. Lord, reset our hearts. Reset our minds. Reset our focus. Not on the things of the earth, Lord, because you're coming back. You're coming back to take your children. And we are a part of that. Why? Because the same thing as Abraham. Abraham believed God. Isaac believed God. Joshua, Noah, all the patriarchs. The pattern is there. And the provision is there. Romans 5:1 says, and 21 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Pay attention there. I don't like that. I don't like that word. I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't like that word. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, the provision that God has given us. Suffering, I don't like that at all. Okay? But as time progresses, as we move through life and deal with all of the chaos that's going on, all of us have to focus on him. We have to be in him daily. And I know that I know that I know, folks, he will touch your heart in a way that will humble you. Because once you get a glimpse of the glory of God, once you get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not in a visual sense, but in a spiritual sense, once you get a glimpse of him, all this stuff goes away. He is the provision. It's about him. Okay? Like I said earlier, our spiritual walk is a lot like Israel, because Israel, when things were going well and they were prospering, they walked away from God. They lost. God said, when you come into the land and you prosper, beware that you do not forget the Lord thy God. And we do. We do. When things are going good, I've got a bank account going, food in the refrigerator, everybody's okay, everyone's healthy. Do I really have that focus on him? Not all the time. But when I go into the suffering part, that's when the oars come out of the water. Lord, suffering creates endurance. Am I saying we're all going to suffer? No, no. The only thing, the biggest suffering we do is with ourselves, at least me. I have a problem with the guy in the mirror, because he sounds good, but he doesn't have it together. Okay? He does not have it together, trust me. But so Romans, so the provision that the Lord has, his pattern is the same all the way through. God says in Romans 2, in Ephesians, he says, you have been saved by faith, okay? Yeah, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. Remember, God says, I will, I will, I will, all the way through the Bible. Ezekiel, we're in Ezekiel, and if you go to Ezekiel just real quickly here, we'll run over there. Let's go to Ezekiel 38. I think somewhere in the Old Testament here, I'm looking for it. Okay, there's a lot of talk about end times, etc. And we know that God, again, we're looking at the patterns, okay? I'm sorry, Ezekiel 37, go there. Ezekiel 37. God said that he was going to bring the nation Israel back into the land. That happened in May 1948, okay? The nation Israel, that little nation became a nation recognized by the UN in May of 1948 by one vote. Isaiah talks about that. It says, can a nation be formed in one day? Sure was. God had spoken it. He had the pattern. He had the provision. And the nation Israel became recognized. Okay. And then he talks in chapter 37 about the Valley of Dry Bones. And all of us have heard that story before. Okay. There's even a song out about the Valley of Dry Bones. The dry bones. Okay. God speak. And I'll read this. Unless you want to follow along here. The Lord speaking to Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many, and opened them out. In other words, he's walking around, sees all these bones, piles and piles and piles and piles of bones, okay? The Lord speaking to Ezekiel says, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, Lord, God, only you know. And again he said, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I ask a question for you. Do you think those bones had anything to do with God's putting them together? Did they cry out and say, oh Lord, put us together, help us there? Nope. They were dead. They're gone. But God said, because of his provision, I will bring salvation. I will bring your covering. I will bring your salvation, your resurrection. When Christ was crucified, there are many things that happened during that period. As we get up into the Christmas holidays, it even becomes more poignant because all of a sudden we understand that Christ child that we celebrate was the King, is the King of the universe, the creator of all mankind. And in Colossians 1, verse 15 through 18, all things were made by him, for him, through him, and consist of him. And if one gets into the sciences, you'll find that there are some strange things in science, in the universe, in the atomic structure of all creation that's odd that science still doesn't know. They really can't figure out gravity yet. They know it exists, but they don't know what causes it. Kind of crazy, but that's the truth. But that little child held and holding all things. The pattern was set. God provided all the way down through the generations to redeem his people. He redeemed Israel. He brought them back out of the land. He brought them back out of death. They did nothing. He's going to bring you and I out of the land. There's going to be a resurrection. We are going to be with him because of his salvation, because of his sacrifice. And the most powerful thing in my mind, yes, he was crucified for my transgressions. Like Andre Krauss said, he was wounded. Actually, he was crucified for my sin, basically wounded for my transgressions. And all of our sin was placed upon him. God said, this is my provision for you. And what do you have to do? Be good? Tithe? Do good to your neighbors? Nope. Same thing with Abraham. Abraham believed God, all of them believed God, and it was accounted unto them for righteousness. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So Paul says, or James actually says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, wait a minute, hold on. Hang on, Lord. If I'm not righteous, how can I be praying? And in Isaiah, God says, their righteousness, your righteousness, my righteousness is of him. So we are in him. We are covered by his blood. And the most profound thing in the world that's ever existed, and I call it the pivotal time in the history of the human race, is when Christ rose from the dead. There was rejoicing because you and I are part of that because of what God did. We got to refocus. We have to reset on him. And when you reset on him, he will open our eyes. And when he opens your eyes, it's like, wow, Lord, didn't see that coming. When you read through God's word, look for those patterns. Look for his provision. Look for what he's done, because it is all about him. When we stand before him in his presence, we will be in awe. Isaiah fell down on his face. Ezekiel. Anyone that ever stood in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Lord, I am undone. Daniel, I think it was Daniel's, that he said, I became weak. I lost everything. In other words, his knees, he just fell down, boom. And the angel Lord came on, get up, touched him. That's the majesty, the creator of the universe. We need to reset. Yes, we do, because in today's world and what God has in for us. But here's the thing I want you to reset with, and why. Well, I want you to reset with the Lord. But I want you to understand clearly that this world is dark. In a dark room, in a room with no light whatsoever, one little candle will light up the whole room. Think about that. Your light, we used to sing as kids, let this little light of mine shine, shine, shine. Your light to a dark world. The hope that's in you is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the light that you bring to a dark world can save that last person, can bring that last person to know Jesus Christ. And when that happens, that may be the last person, and we go home to be with the Lord. Think on these things. God's provision, his pattern, and his provision. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I'm humbled, Lord, by your word. And Lord, I just pray that all the words that I spoke, Lord, we would be accepting to your in your sight, Lord. Lord, your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that cuts between the soul and the marrow, Lord, and the bone and the marrow. And Lord, I just pray that as we go forth here, Lord, that your Holy Spirit surrounds each and every person here, the ones listening, the ones that are not here. I ask that you be with Bill and Heidi and the family. Lord, I pray that their light shines so bright, Lord, that they bring anyone and everyone, Lord, to come to know you. And Lord, this message, if only one person, Lord, gets that message, I am humbled, absolutely humbled. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. We praise you and glorify your name. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.